Bruce is up against it.
Amen.
My brother's.
Amen.
Amen.
We have the scriptures with you this morning, book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13.
Brother Aaron, I just want to come to work for Samuel.
Yeah. Hey.
I just want to thank you for always being there.
Amen.
Amen.
There's times in my life that I thought that I was all alone. And he just came.
Yeah. Samuel chapter 13, we want to go down to verse 19. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. The Lord wants us to preach this message today, one that He began to give me sitting on the lawnmower, called Heaven Sent Honey. Chapter 13, verse 19, now there was no smith found through all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, to sharpen the goats. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Verse 2 of chapter 14. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah, under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by a few. You ought to underline that last part of that verse in your Bible if you believe in marking or underlining in your Bible. That's important. In fact, when Brother Calvin said to me this morning, said, I don't really know what I'll do for a special day. Going to do something unusual. I knew right then, it doesn't matter whether it's just one singing or many singing.
Amen.
God's getting ready to get in this thing.
Amen.
Lord doesn't have to have a lot. Just have a few and He can get things done. Amen.
Amen.
Well, now, verse number 10. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Verse 12. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, his armor bearer, and said, come up to us, and we'll show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Verse 17. Then said Saul and the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. When they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Verse 23. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over from Beth Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of my enemies, so none of the people tasted any food. And all the other land came to a wood, and there was honey on the ground. And when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of his rod that was in his hand, dipped it in a honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little Miss Honey. Preacher, what's all that mean? We're going to preach on that in just a little bit. Father, we thank you. Father, for what it is we've seen, heard, and felt this morning. We pray, God, you'd help us with your power, with your spirit, to preach this morning from your word. And help us, Father, to see truth and taste the honey. Father, we just ask your blessings upon the service. Use us as only you can. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Heaven sent honey. First of all, number one, we see a situation. The Philistines have taken over the land. In the scriptures I've read, back in chapter 12 and 13, where there are 30,000 Philistines and just a few thousand of the Israelites. So they were outnumbered at least 10 to 1. And sometimes, my friend, they were outnumbered even more than that. And in this situation, I want you to notice that they are smithless. They're smithless. Now, that doesn't mean there's no smiths, Brother Gene, in the congregation. It means that there's no blacksmiths. There's no men to sit down and make them weapons. You read that in verse 19 of chapter 13, that there is no smiths found in all the land of Israel. You know why? The Philistines were afraid that the Israelites, since they had captured them now, that they would make swords and spears and continue to fight against them. So, my friend, they have no smiths found in the land. There's no spears. There's no swords. Nobody seems to have a weapon. Seems like now that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to take your weapon out of your hand.
Amen.
He don't want you to have the sword of the Word of God. He don't want you to read from it. He don't want you to study it. He wants to make sure that he infiltrates your life and gets you so busy you'll have no time for the sword.
Right.
No time to sharpen the sword.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? That's what the devil wants to do. But the Bible says in verse 22 at the end of the verse that Saul and Jonathan, his son, that was their fam. In other words, there's two swords in all the land. Why, God can use just one. That's all he needs, just one. Just one person to believe him, God can do great things. Now, we see that the enemies come and there's no smith there. And in chapter 14, we see some slothfulness. Look at the king. When the enemy has taken over the land, and the king, that great leader that everybody looked to, King Saul, when he looks like that odds are not his favor, instead of praying, seeking God's face, and taking his sword and beginning to fight, in chapter 14, verse 2, the Bible says that he tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now he's got 600 men, and they sat down under a tree. They're relaxing. They're resting. Not worried about how the enemy's infiltrated them. They're just happy to be alive. Not worried that there's souls hanging in the balance, that folks are going to die if the enemy remains in control. The leadership had no vision whatsoever. He just said, well, I'm worried about how this is going to turn out. I'm concerned about it. Yes, I am. And I think I'll just sit down right here and I'll wait. And I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to wait right here. I'm not even going to trust God. I'm just waiting for them to recognize who I am.
Bless you.
I want to tell you what, there's a lot of leadership today that's lost vision for what needs to happen in the house of God.
Right.
Saul had lost vision for the people of God. He completely lost his vision. Now, he became slothful. And if you're not careful, the old devil will get you busy. And you will become slothful about your own family's devotion time.
Yeah.
Your own family's prayer time. Your own family's faithfulness to the things of God. Here's the leader. He's got a problem. The enemy's in charge. And instead of acting about the problem, he reacts to the problem and just sits down. He kind of gets what I call a pooch lid. Things didn't go my way today. I think I'll just quit. I think I'll just sit down here and relax for a while. We do that, don't we?
Sure.
Get the pooch lip, the mully grubs. I don't feel like it. I don't like it. I don't like the way it turned out. I don't like the way it's going. Hey, Saul, the enemy's in charge. You shouldn't like the way it's turned out. And you need to rise up and do something about it. That is our setting. That is our situation. We see they're smithless and they're slothful. That's the situation. Now I want you to see number two. Someone's going to step out. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, the son of the king, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Jonathan the son says, hey, armor bearer, let's get our sword and our spear and all our armor, and let's go out to the Philistines' garrison. Let's step out on faith, just you and me. The 600's under the tree. The king's under the tree. Here goes just two. I'll tell you what, God don't need a lot of folks.
That's right.
You think everybody here is just going to have to jump up and have... Listen, God just needs somebody to believe Him.
Right.
He just needs one or two. Right. He just needs a few loaves and a few fishes. He don't have to have that, but He wants you to have the opportunity to step out on faith.
Right.
And so these two, they begin to step out. Now, how are they going to fight 30,000? Well, look down at verse 4. They begin to step out. They begin to seek God. Between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over under the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Now get this. There's a great big rock on this side, and there's a great big rock on this side, and a little passage in between. No, Jonathan says, boy, this is a perfect setup. I'm stepping out to trust God, and look where He's brought me to. He's brought me to a narrow passageway. It's the only way we can get through. And there's no way right here 30,000 can fight me at one time. They can come at me one at a time. I'm glad for the rock, ain't you?
Amen.
He allows things to come at us just one at a time, and He's going to handle it for us. Amen. I couldn't handle all 30,000 problems at one time. No, Jonathan couldn't either. And he stepped out of faith, and God brought him to the right place. I'm glad today we're in the right place. Ain't
Amen.
You? We are in the right place. You may say, now I'm listening to you preach. This can't be the right place. Well, I'm hoping you'll see in a few minutes the Holy Ghost is the one doing the preaching. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to realize they've come to the right place. In verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man that bears armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Well, he's already seen His hand at work. He's in the right place. He said, I think God's going to work for us. And there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He said, I want to tell you, armor bearer, He don't have to have 600 down underneath the tree to bless us. It's just you and me and the Lord. Let's step out on faith and see what God's going to do for us.
Amen.
And it begins to seek a sign. Verse number 10. If they say to us, come up unto us, then we will go up right through them rocks. For the Lord hath delivered him into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. If the enemy invites us right up, then we know God's going to help us get through. Verse number 12 at the end of the verse, verse 12, and the men of the garrison answered Jonathan, and his armor bearer said, come up to us, we will show you a thing. What'd they do? They invited him right up. We will show you a thing. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me. For the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. He's going to deliver 30,000 people into the hand of two. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, there it is. Jonathan climbed upon his hands, upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. They fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan, his armor bearer, made was about 20 men. They killed 20 already. Within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might flap. So 20 people he's already slain, and people are getting excited. There was a trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. I mean, there were 30,000 people. Now 20 of them's died all of a sudden, and they think Israel's, the whole camp of Israel, is run up on top of them, when really it's just two and the Lord. And the Lord begins to quake the ground, and they all get scared, and they all begin to run. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Ain't that just like the enemy? The Lord's confounded them and confused them. Now old Saul, he was that great leader, Mr. Spiritual. Where was he at when the great battle was going on? He's under the tree, waiting for the odds of change and turning to his favor. Look, then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who has gone up from us. And when they had numbered, Behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. I mean, they knew who was missing. Found out. Number three, I want you to see Saul's superbia. He's going to get lifted up in pride. He's that great spiritual leader. Now his son Jonathan's gone into battle and wrought a great victory, and the enemy's on the run, and he's afraid everybody's going to like Jonathan more than they like him. Preachers do that all the time. Find about so-and-so to my church, he may preach better than I preach. And the people may like him better than they like me. I'll just never invite him to come and preach. I want to tell you what, there's a lot of us got superbia. Think we're better than somebody else. Think, well, we deserve this or we deserve that. Oh, Saul is even going to get spiritual. Look what he does. And Saul said unto Ahiah, that's the man of God, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. Now, why in the world is he asking for the ark now? Why was he asking for it when the problem was going on down there under the tree? See, he's afraid. They've caught me asleep down there, and I better say something spiritual. Well, we're the worst in the world for that, ain't we? We want to act spiritual. We want to act and come in like, oh boy, God's been so great to us this week, and surely he has been good to us. And you act like you've handled it so spiritually all week.
Bless him,
Lord. Boy, I'm glad you went with me.
Bless
him, Lord. Amen. I'm not as spiritual as we're all cracked up to be. Amen. Man. And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest that the noise that was in the host of Philistines went on and increased. In other words, they're more confused. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. In other words, he said, you just quit praying about it, man of God. You just back off. Let us handle this now. Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves. And they came to battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a great discomfiture. Now, preacher, I thought you said they didn't have swords. Well, they didn't. But what they call swords was mattocks. I read it to you, and a goad, and an axe. They didn't have swords to fight with. They had to fight with farm equipment.
Right.
You ever been hit with an axe? It'll work, amen. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites or with Saul and Jonathan. Let me think about something. This is coming to me now. Lord, give me a thought. You see that crowd that was down there with Saul when he was under the tree? They was hiding out, wasn't they?
Yeah.
Hiding out from the enemy. Now that the numbers have turned in their favor, the hideouts have come out.
Yeah.
Ain't that the way it goes?
Yeah.
At the house of God,
yes.
Things get tough. Everybody wants to run off and hide out for a little while. Yeah. And then when God gets the blessing again, they show back up and say, here I am.
Yeah.
I'm here. That's a hideout crowd.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of a hideout crowd.
Yeah. Amen.
We got a hideout crowd at the Bethel Baptist Church.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, we do. And then there's some more here. Look at this. It's the second group. I didn't see this one. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time. I mean, they were with the Philistines. They was on their side for a while. You know, that fence-traveling crowd. The popular crowd. Well, I'll go over here because it looks good right now. Oh, wait a minute. I'll go back over here because, we're starting to win now. Wait a minute. We're losing. I think I'll go. You don't know. Listen, you're one of them weather-vane type people. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the way you want to pull.
Yeah.
Amen. You see them roosters on top of the barn. You know that plastic rooster they put up there, that bronze rooster. And the wind blows him around. He points this way. And he points that way.
A lot of people doing that nowadays.
Amen. 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 I'm telling them, compromise. They're fair weather friends.
Amen.
This ain't part of my message. This is all for it. Now they've come and they turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel that hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. There's another crowd. I mean, they went way back in the caves back there. When they hear how things are going, here they come out. Ain't it amazing when people hear there's things going on in the house of God, people begin to come out.
Amen.
Hey, when it gets noise, Jesus is in the house.
Yeah.
They'll come.
Yeah.
But when it gets noise, there's problems and turmoil, and your testimony is woe is me, you watch attendance drop.
Amen.
Right. Well, that's the preacher's fault. No, it might be our own grumbling and our own complaining.
Right.
The Bible says, so the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Aven. All these people joined Jonathan, his armor bearer. They were the two that swept victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody else joined. Everybody else got in on the blessing. Do you see that?
Right.
It was a great, great victory. Praise the Lord. They've defeated 30,000 people with just a few. But I want you to see now, in Saul's superbia, he's going to get super spiritual. Not just spiritual, but super spiritual. Look what he says in verse 24. And the men of Israel were distressed that day. Why were they distressed? They had great victory. Why were they distressed? For Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening. What? That I may be avenged on my enemies. In other words, some of them got away. And anybody that eats until we kill them all, he's to be cursed. Now, you can't find where the Lord said that. That's what Saul said.
Right.
Saul has got super spiritual and made an oath. He's trying to tell them all, you have to fast. You better not fast unless God tells you to fast.
Right.
I get up here in the pulpit and say, you need to fast. No, it better be God telling you, you better fast. Saul has declared unto them that they better fast. In other words, he's going to get legalistic about it. He's going to make up a few rules as they go along. Now I'm telling you what legalism is going to do. It's going to cause this crowd not to enjoy the victory God wants them to enjoy.
Right.
They've got a great victory, and instead because of legalism, no, you can't do that because I said so. Now none of them can enjoy the victory. They're distressed. That's what legalism will do to a church.
Right.
You begin to make rules and regulations, and you say, well, thou shalt not. God didn't say thou shalt not. You did.
Amen.
Amen.
I did.
Amen.
What God says it matters.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Enjoy. It causes them not to be able to enjoy the victory. And I tell you what that's going to do. It's going to push them into sin. I mean, legalism is the reason people get legalistic is they want to clean everybody else's problems up.
Amen. Yeah.
I want to fix your problem. Fix your problem. I tell you what, these boys are all going to tie. I think that you ought to everybody have to wear a tie.
Amen.
Oh! The Word of God don't say that.
Amen.
Amen, fellas.
Right.
Word of God. Word of God didn't say that. You had to wear a tie all the time. Ain't you glad for that? Let me say something. We get legalistic about things. And I want to say the cause of people to get in sin. Hear me? Here they have been charged with an oath by Saul's super spiritualism. I'm making this rule because I think it's right. Now hear me, here's the people. They've had a hard battle. They've been pressed. You've had all kind of problems. You've been pressed by the devil. You've been fighting and fighting and fighting. And you're beat and worn out and tired. And God's, look what he's going to do. Number four is going to give you a supply. And all they of the land came to a wood. And there was honey upon the ground. Here they come to the forest. Y'all ever been lost in the forest before? Get turned around. Amen. They're in the woods now. They're getting all turned around by what Saul's declared to them. And they look down the ground and there's honey. Y'all like honey? Man, I love honey. I got to be careful because I like to eat too much honey. And you eat too much honey, it'll make you sick. Amen. That's right. But there was honey all over the ground there. In other words, they hadn't had nothing to eat. And God's provided them honey. Laid it out there before. In fact, I know it's God that's done it because when the people were coming to the wood, behold, the honey dropped. Now,
bless
you, Lord. I want you to watch this as an example. Watch this. That's dropping something.
That's right.
That means it comes from above and falls down to the ground.
Right.
God's got the honey and he's dropping it for them. Wants them to have something to eat. Saul said, can't eat. He's made out. But God says, oh no. I want you to enjoy my grace. I want you to enjoy my mercy.
Yeah.
I don't care what old Saul says. You better enjoy what I say do.
Amen.
Oh, but wait a minute. The Bible says that we ought to obey the king and then to have rule over you. Well, I'm sure that Jesus Christ outweighs the king.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the king of the king.
Yes.
And he's the Lord of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And he's dropped honey for them.
Amen.
What a sweet, sweet blessing. To look around and just, have you ever been one of them services, y'all, where the honey just begins to drop from above, amen.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't come off the chandeliers, didn't come down from the rooftop. God had sent it from glory.
Yeah.
The honey down. Just to bless you with His grace.
Right.
And His power to encourage you. Just a few words of the Word of God to give you some honey.
Amen.
What a sweet blessing. You know what it is? It's the provision of God.
Right.
Jonathan didn't make the honey. He stepped out on faith. But God provided the honey.
Amen.
You know what? Now, hang on. Let's think about something.
Bless you.
I want you to think about something this morning. This honey that's dropped down from the wood. You know what Jesus' cross was made out of? And I know He shed His blood. That's more important than honey. But I believe there was drops of grace. You and I might be saved when we came to the place of the wood.
Amen.
Didn't say woods, the wood. I guarantee you, when we get to the place of the cross, amen, and get to the foot of the cross,
yeah,
when it's just you and me, and Jesus Christ. Harry hangs upon that cross, shed His blood, and they took His body down and put Him in that tomb. And my friend, He came out of that tomb. That's honey from the rock.
Yes.
That's honey from the rock, amen. Yes. Now there He comes, hallelujah. I want to say there's honey this morning to be had.
Yes.
But look what's going to happen. Old Saul's made a rule and regulation. Bible says when the people come in the wood, behold, the honey dropped. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. Well, God's given us grace that we can do and liberty. All things are legal for us to do, my friend. Now, it don't mean that you're supposed to go murder people. That's not what He means. But He said, I want you to enjoy the liberty of the Spirit. You're under grace, not under bondage. Not under man's laws and regulations and all these things. God nailed those things to the cross of Jesus and He did away with them.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
Read on with me here. For the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth and his eyes were enlightened. Can you see him as he comes across there? I mean, men are sweating and toiling and maybe blood on him somewhere. And he sees that honeycomb, boy. He says, the blessings of God. And he sticks his rod down there in that honeycomb and brings it up and puts it in his mouth. And immediately, his eyes become enlightened. In other words, he was refreshed. He was revived. We need revived.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when you get God's honey book, it's amen.
Yeah.
That'll revive you, man.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like a sugar rush. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You go home and get down and out and get tired, go get you some kind of sugar rush. Immediately you get energy again.
Yeah.
God's providing them a natural honey, a sugar rush out of that honey He's provided for them to revive them and refresh them. Jonathan didn't hear what his daddy said. He's ignorant of what his daddy had said. I want to say your rules and stipulations and regulations you want to put on each other. People don't know what your personal convictions are. And they don't even hear what your personal convictions are. You are the one that needs to live by your personal convictions.
Right.
If Saul wanted to fast, then he should have fasted alone.
Amen.
He was wrong to tell everybody else you have to do this because I said so.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's the Word of God.
Right.
That's the Word of God. Read on with me. Jonathan dipped his rod down that honeycomb. His eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. I'm telling you what, nowadays we're dealing with a folks that's a faint people. You've been battling all week long. You've had such a hard time. There's no way you can keep every rule and regulation of every extracurricular activity in someone else's life. My job is not to police you. My job is to preach to you and pray for you.
Amen.
That is the job of the man of God,
right,
and that's the end of it.
Amen.
I want to say to you, God was the one provided the honey, not Jonathan.
Right.
God is also the one, hear me, God is the one that took, think about this. He knew Jonathan and all them people being about and that need a sugar rush. Knew they needed something to eat. I was sitting on a tractor watching honeybees in the clover. That's where God started dealing with it. I watched that honeybee. Boy, he flew there. He worked a little bit. Got him some pollen. And a bee takes that pollen and they swallow it. and it goes into their stomach. And a process called inversion takes place, where it begins to separate the sugars, you know, the fructose and the glucose and all those things. And I watch that little bee there. He's just working, and he swallowed that. And he lifts up off of that flower, and he can hardly, I mean, he had had so much off of that, he could hardly get her off the ground. It looks like one of them wounded planes coming along. Whoa! And I began to watch him begin to fly, and I thought, where in the world is he going? Probably over yonder a tree somewhere, or somebody's a beehive. He's flying back. And what he does is, he flies back, and he lands in there, and he takes that nectar, that pollen that he swallowed, and it's been separated, now it's become nectar in his belly. And you know what he does? Yeah. He regurgitates. Preacher, that's gross. You're talking about vomit 2 weeks in a row. But he regurgitates. And the nectar, ain't that what happens, y'all? Some of y'all keep bees, you know. He regurgitates. And then those other bees come over, and they take that regurgitation, and they put it in the little places in the honeycomb. And then when they get it filled, they wax cap it. And the reason, and that bee then, he'll do this little dance. And it gets their attention. He says, hey, there's more clover where that came from. And if we're going to live, if we're going to have a future, if we're going to grow, then we need to go ahead and work. And instead of working against each other and talking about each other and saying, you do this and you do that, they begin to work together.
Right.
I learned that. I learned that on Sesame Street. They begin to work together. It's called cooperation. They didn't trip each other as they flew out. I'm going to get there first. I'm going to get no. They begin to work together. Some of them took that vomit and put it down in there for honey. And I want you to know some of them, they begin to fly together. And all of a sudden, I was watching there in the yard, and there's clover everywhere. Man, there's bees every which way. And there's a working. And they flew back. Well, I began to study about honey just for a second. Did you know that in a typical year, it will take an average hive of bees will make between 14 and 142 pounds of honey in one hive in a year. 14 to 142 pounds of honey. That's a lot of honey, ain't it? Up in the prairies of Canada, they are known to produce over 200 pounds of honey. Down in some of the eucalyptus forests, where all those blooms and blossoms are, they'll make more than that, maybe 250 pounds. Now, I want you to appreciate the bee for just a minute. What a worker he or she really is. Did you realize it takes to make 1 pound, just 1 pound, 55,000 miles in flight? And almost 2 million flowers estimated that one bee would have to, that whole beehive would have to go just to make 1 pound. That's a lot of work involved in making honey.
Amen.
I mean, it takes time for there to be honey. It don't just happen. Are you with me? You still with me?
Yes.
Man, I'm talking about God's protection, God's provision, what God's providing for us today. Are you with me?
Right.
When they came into that forest, after fighting that battle, weary and tired and run down, needing something to eat, they come to the woods. And they look, and there's honey on the ground. God had provided. He had been having them bees fly back and forth by all them millions and millions of blossoms and them thousands and thousands of miles in flight. He had been having them work all this time. And so much honey was in their nest, it just began to fall out and land on the ground where they could see it.
Right.
They were so tired their heads were down. Now look at me. You get tired and discouraged and weary, your head gets down too. You're hardly able sometimes. Some of you won't even look at me this morning. That's okay. You don't even look up. Your head's down. What I'm going to say to you, you just open your eyes just for a little bit.
Yeah.
You might see a little honey on the ground.
Right.
It's dripping in the trees and fell on the ground and right there in front of you. You know how you get honey off the ground? You get down there where it is. Sop it up. Get boy, it just runs off and all that juice off your mouth. Boy, sweet honey. Boy, I need a biscuit, amen. Sop me some up with you. And then they begin to look up, and it was dripping out of the trees on the ground. And I wonder, you and I have a problem. God already been working on the answer. All them bees doing all that stuff way before we ever had a need.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
He knew we'd sin. And way before we ever did, he had a son on the cross.
Amen.
Yes.
Who died that you and I might be redeemed. Before we ever had problems, he had the solution.
Amen.
I wonder sometimes, God's honey bucket tips over in the church. I wonder, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of honey to make it. Make it out of clover. Make it out of eucalyptus. Make it out of alfalfa. Make it out of sarewood. That's my favorite, sarewood honey. Y'all know anybody makes sarewood honey, give yourself. I like sarewood honey. But I want to say to you, my friend, a lot of kind of honey. But I wonder maybe if them bees hadn't been working on the Rose of Sharon. How about the lily of the valley? Ooh, I bet that makes some good honey, don't you? I want to say to you this morning. Now, there may be a lot of people say, hey, you don't have to do that. You don't. Go ahead and yell and holler and scream and tell me what you think. But I'm going to be in the honey anyhow.
Amen.
Jonathan was blessed no matter what they said. No matter what they thought about him, Jonathan said, hey, my eyes were enlightened. He said in verse 29, Jonathan said, my father hath troubled the land. I pray you how my eyes have been enlightened. In other words, I've been encouraged. I've been refreshed. It was God's provision, God's honey he sent to us. He said, because I tasted a little. Hey, you getting God's honey. You don't need a lot.
That's right.
You couldn't handle a lot.
That's right.
He said, I just tasted a little.
Amen.
Now I want to show to you what they did. Now, how much more happy the people have eaten freely to the day of the spoil their enemies which they had found. For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines. In other words, had my father not made this oath, you'd have greater victory. But he's made this oath and you couldn't go on. Look what's going to happen to them. They smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. They're still faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, because his daddy, remember what he said? He said, you're supposed to fast until evening. Until evening.
Yeah.
Evening time has come. The people flew upon the spoil, took sheep, oxen, and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. God said this, not Saul. If you eat meat with the blood in it, you're in sin.
Amen.
Because of Saul's oath, which sounded so righteous, all the people trying to keep it were so hungry, as soon as they killed those oxen, they didn't have time to drain the blood out of it. They starved to death and just began to eat it with the blood in it. Because of legalism, they got deeper into sin and got more off track than they ever were to start with. I want to tell you what some people think is righteousness is not righteousness.
Right.
It's self-righteousness.
Amen.
I want to say to you, my friend, I don't know what your problem is today, but if we look at God's supply, let's see what it symbolizes. Those soldiers, you're the soldiers on the battlefield. You're in need today.
Yeah.
God said, hey, before you ever had a problem, I've got the answer. There's honey waiting for you.
Yeah.
Now look around you. God said, my grace is sufficient. It's all around us. He's been good to us. And he's going to continue to be good to us. My friend, I want to say to you, Lord's able to refresh you.
Amen.
When, preacher?
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Right. We've come to the wood. What's the wood? It's where the place of the cross.
Right.
It's where the people of God gather at the foot of the cross to worship him. There's honey on the ground.
Amen.
There's honey dropping from above. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above.
Amen.
God said, for somebody in this church today, you may say, I don't believe it. I don't care. I'm doing just fine anyway. God said, I've got you some heaven sent honey. You just need to partake of it. You stand with us this morning. You girls have come to the piano and the organ plays. Your heads will be bowed. There'll be nobody looking this morning. I wonder today, who is there here that's got a problem? Who is there here that has a need? Who is there here, fellow preacher, I've been in such a warfare. I've been fighting the devil. I've been fighting the world. I've been fighting the flesh. I've really, really struggled. Today, he is your refreshment and has provided it, and it's available in his old-fashioned altar if you come. Folks are already moving. I wonder, friend,
Who is it said to you? You better not enjoy what God's got up there. You better not go up there. You're just wasting your time. That ain't real, honey. Hey, who is it says that stuff? It's old flesh. Well, I don't know. I think you preached this with an angle. Hey, let me tell you something. I preach what God gave me to preach with no apologies to anybody. That's what he told me to do. And they, you know, I did not convict your heart. I did not speak to you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that touched your heart and said, you have a need. There is an issue. And I can help you with it. I'll be the supply for your need. I'll be the honey. It's dripping from the trees. Dripping from the rooftops. Dripping from the throne of glory. That's where it's coming from. I can't give you the honey. But I know the one who can. If you'd come trust him, he'd speak to you today. Our fathers, we bow this morning in your presence. God, we thank you for that little old insect, the honeybee. And what a great work she does. How it's so busy working with each other. Not complaining, not frustrated. Has its eye on the vision. To make sure that the hive has a future. To make sure its young are provided for. To make sure there is honey in the hive, which is their nourishment through the winter, which is their nourishment through the tough times. Lord, in this church, we're going to need the nourishment and the provision, the supplies of Almighty God. Father, there is a vision this church needs to have for the future. And Lord, it will only be provided by you working, Father, in our lives. I pray, God, you'd help us to learn to swarm around here. Become more active. Become less like old Saul who wants to sit under the pomegranate tree and wait for things to flip over in his favor and wait for a more convenient season. God, I'm asking today, maybe there's some in this congregation that's already stepped up in this altar is going to be like Jonathan. Said, I'm going to take the word of God which was preached to me today, and I'm going to take my armor bearer, and I'm going to walk up between them two rocks up that old fashioned altar where I can at one at a time face issues in my life and see what God will do for me and know that God will put the enemy on the run. And then once we've accomplished this victory, we can enjoy the good things of God, the sweet blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, the honey concentration. Lord, I pray, God, for a little honey to be in people's lives. Help us, God, to have a sweeter disposition, not to be so sour and poop-sniffed and money-grubbing about everything. God, our problem is we need a little honey. And I pray, God, you'd provide it for us and help us, God, to partake of it, no matter who, Father, says we can't. Lord, we look around and say, well, oh, so-and-so lines up with so-and-so, and I can't do this. God, help them to learn, Father, to trust you. And you're the only one they report to. Lord, I ask, Father, for a little honey and keep us out of sin. We ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bible, the Word of God, it ought to be sweeter to us than the honeycomb.
Amen.
You know, honey is one of the quickest ways for you to get a sugar rush. I mean, you won't get it in a Hershey's bar the way you'll get it out of good old-fashioned honey. You believe that?
Right.
You want to be encouraged and refreshed? You get the Word of God.
Amen.
It'll help you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, if our ushers have come up this morning, we need to receive the building fund. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time you've given us.